Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." I'm not a chemist, but my understanding is salt is salt. You cannot change its makeup. Then how does salt lose its savor? The only way salt can lose its savor, you can have a big chunk of it, you can break it up, and even the little pieces remain salt. You can smash it and do everything, but it remains salt. The only way you lose its savor is when soil is mixed in with it. And when soil is mixed in with it, it loses its taste. That's how salt loses its savor. It's always salt, even broken down to the smallest molecules. And the soil that he's talking about is the world. When a Christian becomes worldly, he loses his influence. And the more worldly you are as a Christian, you lose the effect you have upon the person that doesn't know God. And the title of the message this evening is Keeping It Real. How many know God's real? And because God's real, he wants us to be real. One of the greatest compliments that one can receive is found in the early Gospels when Jesus said to Philip concerning Nathanael, he said, "A man in whom is no guile." And what he was saying was, Nathanael's word is good. Nathanael's word is real. You can take it to the bank. Ever heard that expression? Nathanael doesn't have any bitterness. Nathanael doesn't have anything within him that has hurt his character and his realness and his genuineness. What a compliment to make. Or you could say, "Nathanael, you're real." How many have ever heard the expression, "Keep it real"? I want it to be real. Someone wrote, "God made us for himself, and we will not rest until we rest in him." When man fell in the garden, if it did anything, along with many things, it caused him to lose his godlikeness and keeping it real. One of the first characteristics that is not becoming was when God began to ask Adam and Eve why you did what you did. And we learn right away that Adam couldn't be honest. He couldn't be real. Adam said, "The woman that thou gavest me." And I'm sure that God was saying, along with hearing the angels hearing, "Adam, that's not the answer. You're not being honest. It's you, Adam." And then he turned to Eve, and Eve, as we've heard a thousand times a thousand, she blamed someone else and said, "The devil." or the serpent. The point is that man was not being real, not being honest. You find the next generation, Cain, same thing, not being honest. It doesn't take long if you'll go back to your childhood and begin to discover there's a lot of dishonesty in the world. And you learn that early in life. You begin to learn that, wow, this world has got a lot of things wrong with it. I remember, and I mean no disrespect, or I don't want to bring any embarrassment at all, but I was told that, Audrey, you really checked out Don quite a while before you decided, okay. And you wanted to make sure he was real. Am I right? What else are you going to say? you want... Okay. But you want things to be real. I had a woman in my church in White Salmon. She didn't know what to think of me. She was always looking at me with, I'm not so sure I can trust him. I felt I was always on trial, whether it was my doctrine or whether it was my honesty or whether it's just me. Be honest with you, I got tired of it because of how many, like I preached this morning, you can tell, and things she said. And finally one day I said to her, how long am I going to be on trial? She says, what do you mean? I said, you don't trust me. I'm not saying you got to trust me, but my goodness, everything I do, you're questioning. Everything I do, you challenge my motive. And she realized that she had. I don't know if she ever changed, but at least I let her know. As a child, my first recollection of beginning to not trust, I had a friend. I thought he was my friend, and I believe he was my friend. We wanted to make a go-kart. In order to make go-karts, you had to have wheels. Well, we're talking back in the early 50s. And you would go out to junkyards and other places to try to find wheels. So we took a hike, and we found an old scooter. The scooter had a front wheel and two back wheels. It was a little red scooter. He said, let's carry it back. So both of us shared. Now, Gary was known to be a fighter, not me. Gary could whip anybody, not me. I learned to have a good personality to get along with the fighters. So in case I ever got, they would hopefully, hey, and... But we both struggled and carried it back. I remember we were probably 9 or 10 or 11, and we're fighting to get it home, and finally we got it home. Here's what Gary said to me. I've been thinking, Dennis. I said, what? He said, we're going to split this. I thought, how are you going to split three wheels? He says, here's what we're going to do. You get the front and I get the back. That means you get two wheels and I get one wheel. Yeah. I didn't want to challenge him because I knew he was the type, if you challenged him, he wanted to fight, and I didn't want to fight because then I knew I'd lose. But I was hurt over that. And I learned, and I began to learn not to trust people. You ever have experiences that hurt you and you begin to not trust? I remember in elementary school, I became aware that teachers begin to have favorites. I could tell. And right or wrong, you learn not to trust. You learn that, boy, this world is not as you would like it to be. And then I go to school and I learn what I haven't learned at home from my mother. My mother's taught me, and I've learned in Sunday school, there's a God. And then you go to school, and you're taught differently. You're taught evolution. And you're taught things that disagree with scriptures. And that puts a lot of weight on a little mind when you're trying to think, who's telling the truth? And with all these things, I'm only trying to say, you begin to learn, who can I trust? And it's built into us, who can I trust? Who's telling the truth? Who's acting like they're going to be fair, and then at the end of the deal, they betray me and they take the two wheels? David said, blessed is the man that doesn't counsel with the ungodly, because the ungodly you can't trust. How many times I've heard ladies that are Christians, and they'll come to me and say, Pastor, something's wrong with my car, and I don't know who to trust. I don't know what mechanic to go to. I don't know if they're, because how many know there have been mechanics that will take advantage of a woman who doesn't understand and charge them things they shouldn't charge? And because the world is full of crookedness. You learn that TV is not real. About 95% is not real. And I remember when I had a business and we were going to make commercials for our business. And the professional person I hired, and I'm watching them put together a commercial, and they brought in these people that are trained actors. And I watched this actor get on and say, I've been to, they mentioned my store, and boy, it's the greatest store. These treatments have worked, and I'm an example. And I said to the person, I said, that's not true. That's a lie. Well, that's just the way it is. You want to use us or not? I didn't like it. How many feel I felt responsible? And I still feel a little guilty. I've had to repent over it because I let them doing it because I thought it might make some money. And oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. But my point is I learned that, boy, I don't trust one commercial. They act so well. They act like, oh, they've really tried that product. They didn't try that product. They're just good liars. And then I went to church. I remember it near a car wash. Now, you know that I grew up in and out of church. When I'd go to church, I really believe it's real. Something tells me it's weird, real. And then I'd get out and I'd go to school and I'd hear the other, and I'd be with friends that didn't believe, and mother did the best she could with a father that didn't go and didn't want to talk about it. I remember being in a car wash outside on a Sunday night. It was a Pentecostal church. And boy, they were singing up a storm. And I remember at that car wash stopping, put the wand down and went over and just listened to them sing. And I thought to myself, boy, they're sure singing like it's real. I don't know if it's real, but they're sure singing like it's real. The turning point for me, when I really knew it was real, and yes, I answered an altar call, and yes, I asked Jesus into my heart, and yes, I believed that my sins were forgiven, and yes, I put my faith in Him, but the turning point for me, and I believed it then, was the night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And everybody's is different. I would not question that, but something... Oh, that old song that something got a hold of me. And my goodness, I was in awe. This thing is so real. My Lord, 18 years of my life. And this, oh my God, I went there to fight, but I found out this night something got a hold of me in that song we sing. And I just walked around in a daze for days, about a week, just pinching myself and breaking down and crying. This thing is so real. Oh, where have I been? There's no reality in the TV shows. Every reality show you watch, I'll guarantee you, it's not a reality. It's all fake. Even Facebook, I hate to tell you, is fake. Well, why is it fake? Because we only put on there what I want you to see. I'm only putting on you my good side. I'm not going to show you my bad side. How many know we all have a bad side? I'm only going to show you nice things I think of 20 minutes before I put it down. And so it is really deceptive. And the church world is no different. We get in church, and after I'd been in church a while, I was shocked when I found out there's some people in here that are not real. We got some hypocrites in this place. My Lord, we got some folk that I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they do that. I can't believe they believe that way. And all of us are aware of what we sadly saw 20 years ago when three huge major TV preachers fell from sinful behaviors. I will say, this is your pastor, I'm very proud of Jimmy Swaggart making his way back. I say, God bless you. I know some say, I won't listen to him sing, but I won't listen to him preach. Not me. I believe his repentance was real. And I listened to him. I believe his repentance was real, and I believe God's forgiveness is real. And there's something in, I believe, every child of God that loves the real. You want to see the real. You don't enjoy seeing that which is not real. You don't want to keep your eyes blind to it. There's that which is not real. Jesus said there would be. And I had a passion to keep it real. I remember I was youth pastor in Garden Valley Christian Assembly, and I'm sitting on the platform in the worship service. And the lady was she really would get with it. And I enjoyed her because I knew this. She's real. Audrey, you're real when you lead worship. You can tell it's genuine. And this pastor's wife, she'd really get them. And I like that. I like it when it's, they're real. Jesus said, the Bible said, they that worship me must be real, must worship me in spirit and in truth. In fact, not all worship is real, because Jesus said one time, why draw nigh unto me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me? You're not being real. And so here the worship in my heart was real, and I didn't know everybody else's heart, but okay. And then we'd go to prayer. And I remember the pastor leaned over to me, and I've only been there a little while, and he says, oh, no. I said, what? He said, here comes Sister So-and-so. Well, what is wrong with Sister So-and-so? He says, every time she comes forward, he says, if you get near her, when you touch her, she'll fall backwards. Now, folks, I believe in going down in the power of God. That's not what's on trial here. But sometimes people go down and it's not God. Hello? And this woman, I said to him, really? And I had noticed it a few services later. She'd do it. And I mean this in all due respect. It made quite a scene. And she was about 5 feet tall and maybe weighed, I hate even going there, but one Sunday morning again, he said to me, oh no, here she comes again. And I said, I'll keep her from going down. I wanted it real. He said, you will. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but I'll figure something out. He went at that end of the line and I went over here. You probably remember this. I don't think Matthew and your wife have, but as we started praying, I see her and I say to myself, I don't believe you've been going down. It's been real, and I think it gives it a bad name, but I'm going to keep you from going down. And as I got near her, I'm keep an eye on her, and I know she's sensing I'm getting closer, and she's waiting for me to touch her. And so back in those days, I had cufflinks. And the cufflinks, a little bit of it was broken. Had a little angled piece of metal going out. And so just about the time I'd figured out what I was going to do, I was going to put my whole arm around her. Because I know the minute she felt touched, she'd pull back. And I thought, if I put my arm around her, I'm going to keep her from going back. I should have learned this in math, that 115 pounds does not stop 300 pounds. And when I put my arm around her, she immediately pulled back, and my cuffling got caught to something on her jaw, and I couldn't stop her. And she goes back, and I'm stuck to her, and I'm glued to her, and I fell right on top of her, and there we are. And the people are looking, and I'm embarrassed, and she looked up at me and said, "Oh, Brother Connor." And I tried to pull my arm back because it was stuck to her jaw. And when I did, I rolled this way and she rolled that way. And when I rolled back this way, she rolled back that way. And the people are laughing like you're laughing. I was so embarrassed. Is this real? Honest to God, this happened. I got up like Joseph, who ran from his coat. And left it with, it was totally different circumstances, but I left it in that shawl hanging on me as I got out, and the pastor saw it. They must have laughed. They told me for at least 4 or 5 minutes. I snuck back in later. I wanted it real. I don't do that no more. I'll let God work that out. But I know what Brother Jim mentioned when he was mentioning the other night, when he loves to see the doctrine real. And you want it real. You want truth real. The great missionary E. Stanley Jones, one that I've enjoyed reading, writes in his book titled, "Is the Kingdom of God Realism?" We want something that is real. And there isn't anything that's more real than God. When we find miracles, when you yourself experience a miracle, there's something that happens and you say, "Wow, this is real." And we've learned for every real thing, there's an unreal thing. For every coin that's genuine and maybe worth more than its surface value, there's a counterfeit. And anything that's valuable, there's a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit for coins. There's a counterfeit for cars. This flood that they had what was the city that went underwater? New Orleans. There were thousands of cars that were soaked. Many of them were being re-put back into the market, but they were not exposing that they had been underwater and ruined. And some that knew a little bit about mechanics was able to take them, fix them up, but not tell that they had been damaged. And they were selling them at good prices, not telling anybody. They weren't being real. And they finally found out and put a stop to it. I'm sure that's going to happen again with all these thousands of cars that this late hurricane happened again. So we've learned that coins are counterfeited and we want it real. And cars are counterfeited, we want it real. We've seen preachers can be counterfeited. And we've seen teachings can be counterfeited. And I know a minister. I know him personally. He had an evangelist in, and this evangelist was claiming, he not himself, that he was having unusual manifestations, is how I would put it. Little jewels would show up. Up at the Redding Church, they have some manifestations. I believe they're real. I've checked them out the best I can. I'm not claiming I understand it all, but they're manifestations. And they've actually, one fella has gone around the world and has videotaped, and it looks real. These jewels showing up. Why would God do that? Well, when you can figure out God, you got one over on me. And so he has this minister in who supposedly this is happening. And the crowd grew in Roseburg. And then one night, he noticed that the minister in his cuff, he had been planting jewels. And somebody that was thinking, I don't believe this, was watching closely. And he had shake that leg just a certain way, and the jewels would come out. It hurt it. It destroys. You don't need to do that. Shame on you for doing that. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. That's saying God's this when God isn't that. And it caused the church of 200 people to so disbelieve. And it went down to almost 25 people because people feel they had been cheated and told a lie. How many of you want it real? And I'm only getting... Now, does that mean that doesn't happen? No, I believe it has happened. I'll be honest with you. I don't like that expression, but I use it. It's almost like I've been lying up to now, but I'm going to finally be truthful. But for the sake of the expression, when I came here, I did not personally believe that God filled teeth with gold. I didn't believe it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to go against my conscience. I kept quiet. I wasn't going to offend anybody. But I listened to enough testimonies of people that I do believe in that are real, that have observed it and experienced it. I humble myself and say, I believe it. I don't have to be a Thomas to touch him in order to be a believer. How many are total Thomases? You're going to be better off if you're not a Thomas and you can believe things without having to actually see them. That doesn't mean you don't have to prove all things and hold fast that which is good, and you don't have to be gullible. I don't believe in being gullible. But I don't want to be harsh, and I don't believe that. Because I was taught, if God's going to fill teeth, why wouldn't he do it with teeth? That's a good answer. Nothing wrong with that answer. But they say he did it with gold. So I just go on down the head, down the road, scratching my head. I got no answers, but I believe it. I know men that I totally believe their word. I don't believe when Brother Skip Kincaid said his brother had that he's lying. I believe it. We want it real. And, Pastor, I want it real. If you believe that God is real, then the scripture says you be real. If you want God to be real, you be real. That's what the scripture means when Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. If you're not sincere in your heart, if you're not pure in your heart, you don't get the reward of seeing the real. He might let some people, I've seen sinners see it, and but for us as Christians, if you want it, you want to see God. How many want to see God? I want to see God. Oh, I hunger and thirst to see God in all of the variations that he has. Whether it be in his creation, his handiwork, shows, his beautiful, etc. And I see him in people, and I see him in circumstances, and I see him when I hear a still small voice. I see him in the word. I see him when I've had visions. I see him when I've had dreams. I see him. But Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. If you're sincere, he'll be real to you. If you're not sincere, don't expect from what I see in the Word that God will make it real. The old church song we sing, it's real, oh, I know it's real. All the doubts are settled, and I know, yes, I know, it's real. I remember in my early Christian life me crying out, God, I know you're real. Oh, that Holy Ghost was so real. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll say anything you want me to say. Oh, God, just show me yourself again. It's been a continual seeking after him. And boy, has God made himself real to me. I've had too many experiences. Just too many. One of the hardest for me to believe was, go tell the senator, live next door to the church, he's got a week to live. Oh, boy. But I know the voice. I know it's real. I told my church after church, or God's church, and the people about 7 or 8, I want you to pray for me. What? God told me to go to the senator, tell him he's got a week to live. Are you going to do that? Yeah. Are you sure you heard from him? Yeah, I'm sure. I know it's real. But sometimes we even question the real. Why we do that, I don't have answers for. But I'd go by and I'd have the Lord remind me again. And then come Saturday night, my wife, I thought about going. I didn't. Sunday morning, my wife came in the office crying and what? And said, Al Henry died of a heart attack. Wow, they have a bridge they built after his name, Al Henry. I remember driving down the road with Brother Montgomery. I never know. I've told you 100 times. I never know when he's going to speak to me. But when he does, I know it. And I was driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to me, to Brother Montgomery in the town of Coos Bay. And I said, Brother Montgomery, God just spoke to me. 2 men are going to die in a fire. He believed me. He said, well, how are they going to die? He said, it's awful dry out. No, it's not a forest fire. And I'm only going to show what I see. And I get home, and he called me 2 days later and said there was a fire in town. A building had caught fire, and 2 firemen were inside the building. It collapsed, and they burned to death. And boy, the whole town knew, and the whole church knew, because he told the church what I said. And I remember he brought me back. He tried to build that and tried to get a crowd of people to tell them what happened. And I remember a lady came up to me, and she was quite angry and said, why would God tell you that? And I said, I don't know. She said, I'm okay with that answer. But he did. There's a monument there in Coos Bay. I had a boy. They were cutting up in service. God showed me a pocket knife in his pocket. And I told him and called him out. And it so startled him, this unbeliever. He didn't even buy into it that night. He just didn't know what to do with it. 5-6 months later, I'm at a gas station and I see somebody staring at me. I told my wife, I said, am I wrong or is that boy just staring at me like he's angry? She said, no, he's staring at you. Finally, I went up to him. I said, do I know you? And he put the, you can't pump gas up in Oregon. You have to let them do it. He said, yeah, he said, I know you. He said, you're the one that told me I had a pocket knife in my, he said, I know somebody told you. I said, no, nobody told me. God told me. This thing is real. This thing that we call the kingdom of God is real. And he's going to struggle with that till the day he dies, unless he surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my message this evening is, we know it's real. And if you want God to be real, he's real, you be real. Be honest. Be sincere. Blessed are the pure in heart. In other words, keep it real. How many like it when people are real to you? Keep it real. Be real. In him who is no guile, he's real. Let's stand. when Jesus said, love your enemies. Debbie, would you come, please? When Jesus said, love your enemies, we say, is that for real? The answer is yes. It's for real. When he said, you must love your neighbor as yourself, they thought, we've turned that into idealism. That wasn't idealism, it was realism. We think selfishness is suicide. Jesus said that you're to die daily to yourself. Is that real? Yes. We think, oh no, you can't live if you die to yourself. That we think selfishness is suicide. But it's necessary for us to die to ourselves, both collectively and individually. When Jesus said we must lose ourselves in order to find ourselves, that means when I pray, I've got to be real. I've got to say, oh God, I deny myself. Oh God, I just deny myself, because I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. And Lord, I'm being honest. I know that. I am aware of my flesh. I'm aware of that, Lord. And I know you put your nature in me and your life in me. And oh God, I cry out like Paul did. Oh, that I might know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Because I know it's real. It's real. It's real. And oh God, help me to do that. Help my denying be real. Oh, don't let it be cheap. Don't let it cost me nothing. Let it cost me, like David said. If you want God to be real, oh, you be real. Blessed Jesus, I lift my heart and my hands to you this evening. You're real, you're real. Lord, all the doubts are settled. You're real all the time. All the time you're real. Give me an awareness of a God consciousness tonight. When I walk out of here tonight, when I lay my head on the pillow, when I wake up in the morning, Lord, tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, every day, it's real, it's real, it's real. I felt the Lord wanted me to do this. Would you sit back down just for a second? Oh, Lord, I'm terrible at remembering names, and I ask for forgiveness. I even turned around to Brother Jim tonight, and I said, what's Matthew's wife's name? You told me, and I done forgot. But I felt the Lord wanted me to ask you to share an experience that you've had, because I know you've come out of some real strong. Can you think of one and share it, please? Yeah, come on up. We went out to dinner, and I remember her. I knew then, I sensed, the Lord told me, she's had some experiences.
Thank you for this opportunity to share
her. Is that on? Here we go. Go ahead. Hang on just a second. Donnie's going to run back and so everybody can hear you.
Okay. I thank God for this opportunity to share my testimony. It makes me cry every time I share it. I came here in America when I was 16 years old, and I had to go back to high school because they didn't accept my credit in the Philippines. So I went to high school for 2 years, and I wanted to be accepted by everybody. And so I hang out with the wrong people. So they introduced me marijuana. So I, because I knew it was wrong, I didn't even know exactly what it was, but we had marijuana plants in the Philippines, our backyard, and we only used it to cure for sicknesses. And it's not, we didn't smoke it, we drank the juice, or from what I remember when I was younger. But when I came in high school, they asked me to, oh, it makes you feel good, it makes you laugh, and things like that. So, because I wanted to be accepted with the people I was with, so I took it. And then, from then on, and I started partying hard, And then when I got out of high school, it continued on. And then I partied and I started going to nightclubs. I just went out almost every night. And so finally I got a job. And again, the wrong people, I started doing cocaine. So I turned 23 and I said, I'm tired of my life. I don't want to be like this. And I didn't know God. I wasn't serving God. I was raised Catholic, but I've never practiced Catholicism, so I didn't really go to church either, the Catholic church. So I wanted to stop this. And then one day I met someone, and this person took me to a Bible study. So I went to the Bible study every Wednesday, and so finally I went to church, but I didn't really know about Christianity. And so I end up giving my life to the Lord, not knowing what I was. I mean, I understood a little bit. And so one day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was like the best thing that ever happened to me. And to make it was a long story. My testimony is a long story. I'm just skipping some stuff that happened to me. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I got baptized, and I went back to work. When I went back to work, I was really a mess before I got saved. I was a punk rocker. I wore miniskirts. I had full of makeup, and my hair was standing everywhere. And so when I went back to work, I told them, "You gotta get saved." I was so fired up for the Lord, and I told them, "You gotta get saved." And many people challenged me because I was so young in the Lord, but I was so excited after I got the Holy Ghost. And I told them that they have to get saved, otherwise they're gonna go to hell. And so people challenged me, saying that in 3 months she's gonna come back to us. And so that's my testimony. But I just love the Lord. And after 6 years staying in church, I did fell away. Things happened in the church, and I didn't understand. So I just feel like, how could these people do this? And so I went back to church. I struggled. I go back. I just felt like nothing is going right. So I fell back in the world. But this time, I didn't do drugs or anything like that. And so for 10 years, I stopped going to church. I stopped reading the Bible. But I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I stopped speaking. I just stopped everything. And so I went back again partying, but no drugs. Alcohol, just going out partying. So I used to live in San Francisco. So I end up coming to San Jose because my brother said, "Well, why don't you come live with us? Because all my families are back here." And so I decided to come live with my brother, but I would still go back. On weekends, I would go back to San Francisco and party. And so this time, my friends, this one day, but I struggled. This time, when I came to San Jose, I was going to Cathedral of Faith. So I was going back and forth trying to get back to church. And one night, my friends goes, "Hey, why don't you come and meet us for dinner in San Francisco?" So, but the Holy Ghost, I felt the Holy Ghost that telling me not to go. And I was so hungry at the time to come back to the Lord. I would come back and then go. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't have any friends that were Christians because I had been gone away from church. So that night, I said, "Okay, I'll meet you guys in San Francisco, but I want to go home first and, you know, change, shower, and all that stuff." This is after work on a Friday. And so
this whole time I was working in Menlo Park, so I drove from Menlo Park to San Jose. So, you know, I had like almost an hour to. So the Holy Ghost was dealing with me. Don't go, don't go. And so I was. So by the time I came home, the Holy Spirit was so strong. And when I got home, I just threw my briefcase, everything. And I just got down on my knees. I repented. And the minute I repented, I just started speaking in tongues. And I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be single anymore. I'm tired. I don't want to date anymore. I said, I would come back and serve you. But I want a husband who would love you and want to go to church with me. And 2 weeks after, I met Matthew. And when I met Matthew, I asked him if he wants to go to church with me. And he said he would. And after 3 months, we got married. So he's so this is what happened. And we got married, and here we are, 13 years after. But I give God the glory, because God is the one, he's the only one who would get the glory, because he's the one who saved me. And he loved me enough to get me back in church. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you. Isn't God good? How he can be real to anyone that'll be real back. You be real, God will be real. Let's stand. Thank you so much. The Lord, I hope you know, was in on that, and you've been a great blessing. Father, thank you this evening. We just, Lord, want it real. Help us to be real. Don't let the earth, the world, get into us that makes it not real. Help us to keep our salt clean, and help us to get our salt out of the shaker into the world, but not the world into us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.